today. Scripture today is from Hebrews 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hand, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year, with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.
Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. This is Jesus talking, and as he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. And many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. In 2 short weeks, it's Pledge Sunday here in the church, and I'm hoping that that will be a meaningful time of worship. Progress is being made on restarting the Carillon Bells system that has been broken for years. And if that can happen, if it doesn't happen, don't get mad at anybody. But if it can happen, if it does happen in the next 2 weeks, we'll have a little dedication, a rededication of the new Carillon Bells system, kind of like a little service within a service. And that is Pledge Sunday, when you bring your pledges in. And during such a pledge time, you would expect a sermon about giving. But thankfully, nobody this year, nobody came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, could you slip in a sermon about giving?" Nobody said those words to me, and I'm grateful. Because I always use the lectionary, almost always use the lectionary to determine what I'm preaching on. So I'm not tempted to do just topical sermons on whatever's going on in the world necessarily, but to just try to continue to focus us on our relationship with God. And this week's lectionary passage is Mark 12, and it involves seeing things God's way. It has to do with giving, not out of our abundance — it's easy to do that — but giving out of our poverty. And it doesn't have to do with giving more money necessarily, but in some cases, in people's lives, giving less. A poor widow, who Jesus tells us has nothing to live on, decides to give what little she has to the temple. In our modern society, it's kind of hard to put ourselves in this widow's place. With popular and effective programs like Social Security and Medicare, right now in the United States, poverty among the elderly is fairly low. It's easy to forget what it meant to be a widow in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, a widow was quite simply the poorest of the poor. Once her man departed from this world, the woman lost her means of support. She lost most of her legal rights. And her only hope to avoid complete abject poverty was if she had a grown child who would take care of her. The Aramaic word for widow is similar to the Hebrew almana, which means widow, and it comes from the word alam, which means unable to speak. A widow was a voiceless person in society. She had no power. And I'm no Greek scholar, but in the Hebrew, the Greek word for widow is kahera, and it means deprived of, cut off, stripped bare, or abandoned. And Jesus tells us that in that state of nothingness, the widow came up to the place to give her money and gave all she had to live on. How did they know what she was giving? Well, first of all, there's no such thing as quiet money back then. You know, when you pass the plate, I remember a TV show back in the 70s when everybody was in church and they're passing the plate and the quiet money is being put in the plate and one cheapskate puts in a quarter and you hear this clank and everybody knows he gave hardly anything. But they didn't have printing presses. They didn't have soft, quiet money back then. In fact, it was quite obvious who gave what. You know, and in this church, I don't know who gives what. That's my policy. That's a rigid wall that I've always kept. If you gave 5 cents, if your money was really loud in the plate, I wouldn't know it. And if you gave $5 million, I wouldn't know it who did it either. Except I know you haven't given us $5 million because we don't have it. But in Jesus' day, if you entered the temple through the east gate, you would arrive at an outdoor section of the temple known as the Court of Women. And there were 12 trumpet-shaped receptacles made of brass. And these were narrow at the top and wide at the bottom. And when someone made a donation, the coins they used, because it was all coins, would be heard rattling down that long trumpeted section till it reached the bottom. And so you could tell who was giving more and giving less. Someone who was giving a large donation might sound similar to this. They're giving a lot of money, aren't they? The widow might have sounded more like this. Everybody could see the difference. Maybe they couldn't count, but they just knew who was giving more money. And the widow was on the short end. And it goes without saying that if anybody was looking at the widow as she gave, it was embarrassing to her. You know, some other guy walked up there and dumped a bunch of money in, loud money, and it sounded pretty impressive. And she came along and it was tink, tink, just a couple of little coins. And everybody could have watched her. Everybody could have seen her. Everybody could have judged her for that. But she soldiered on and gave what she felt she had to, what she felt she wanted to. And everybody judged her harshly, or could have, except Jesus, the one who really matters. And he saw things in that topsy-turvy way that God sees things. You know, God who inspired him to say things like, "The first shall be last. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The rich shall go away hungry. as it was prophesied when he was born. And so Jesus sees this widow and says, this widow who gave out of her poverty gave more in God's eyes than the one who made the sound of abundance. The tink-tink of her two small coins made more than any rush of coins entering the brass trumpet-shaped receptacles. So how much should you give? I think I've made it clear in message after message. This church is not the only charity that's worthy. I feel integrity in saying that. But when you give overall out there to the world, to the needy charities, are you just giving a little bit of cream off the top? Or are you giving on a certain amount because God's leading you? And that's what I always try to emphasize. Make this part of your relationship with God. Are you giving out of your abundance, or are you like the widow who gave out of nothingness? She was struggling to make ends meet, giving out of her poverty. My mother is a widow. She was married for 63 years to three different men and was widowed by every one of them. Mom is not impoverished for the reasons that I've already discussed. She tells the story of when she was first married, before she had any kids, married to her first husband, who I never met because her second husband is my father. As a young believer, she attended a church service where giving was discussed, and she felt led to give the small amount of money that she had in her purse to the church. She felt convicted, like she had to do this. But in her head, there was a little battle going on. This is all the money I've got to live on until payday, which is Thursday. It's Sunday right now. How am I going to get through those next 3 days? But she still felt God wanted her to give the money. So she did. She got home and just thought, what am I going to do now? The phone rang. It was a woman in her church inviting her to dinner and her husband to dinner on Monday night. Phone rang a little while later, and it was someone inviting mom and her husband to dinner on Tuesday. And finally later, the phone rang again, and it was someone inviting her to dinner on Wednesday. So Monday through Wednesday, dinner was covered all the way to payday Thursday. Now, I want to just issue a word of caution. I'm not one of those people that encourages you to give to get, you know, those televangelists that tell you, you give more and you get more. You know, if you want a Cadillac, go ask God, and God will give it to you. And just make sure you name the color, because God's going to bless you that much because you gave that much more. I'm not going to give you that song and dance, that spiel. Because I'm thinking about my mom's heart as she did that. She was not thinking that God's going to pay me back somehow when she gave this. She gave out of her poverty as the widow did in the scriptures. She had nothing to give except that and felt led to give that which she had. And all she was trying to say was, how can I communicate to God that I belong to God? God is asking me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. It's just that simple. So at that moment, she felt the best way was to just give everything she had. No one promised her meals. She and her husband might have gone hungry for 3 days. They took that risk. They took that chance. The point in her frame of mind was, who do I belong to? Do I belong to this money in my purse? Or do I belong to God? The widow made the choice that she belongs to God. She gave all she had, and in the loving eyes of the Son of God, she gave more than and all the rich people with all their loud money around her. If only we could see things in the topsy-turvy way that God sees them. If we could, how would that change what we do?